Lecture topic: Miracles of the Quran.
Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alamin was salatu was salamu ala al mab'uthi rahmatan lil alamin nabiyyina wa habibina wa qudwatina wa imamina Muhammad ibn Abdullah wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Allahumma la ilma lana illa ma 'allamtana innaka antal alimul hakim. Allahumma 'allimna ma yanfa'na wa anfa'na bima 'allamtana. اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من علم لا ينفع ومن عين لا تدمع ومن قلب لا يخشع ومن بطن لا يشبع ومن دعاء لا يسمع. Honored ulama and honored huffaz and honored students of the memorization of the Quran and those who have gathered here this evening, I commence by making a dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make me utter that which is beneficial for myself and thereafter for yourselves, and inshallah that which comes from the heart to the heart. And I also make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept us all this evening. And I feel very, very honored to be in the midst of those who have memorized the Quran and those who are memorizing the Quran. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala truly make us from amongst those who are honored on the day of Qiyamah. Before I get into the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and some of the verses of the Quran, I would like to mention something that came to my mind whilst I was listening to the term huffaz. I'm sure we've all heard the name Maulana Ali Mia An-Nadawi rahmatullahi alayhi. He was once told by one of the Arabs, pointing at a little boy, he was told, هَذَا يَحْفَظُ الْقُرْآنِ. Now, that means this boy has memorized the Qur'an. But the term hifz also includes to protect. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed in the Qur'an, إِنَّا نَحْنُ نَزَّلْنَا الذِّكْرَ وَإِنَّا لَهُ لَحَافِظُونَ. Indeed, we have revealed this reminder or this Qur'an, and we will be the ones who will protect it. So the term hifz means to memorize, and it also means to protect. So when he was told, هَذَا يَحْفَظُ الْقُرْآنِ, the one who was speaking meant it to mean this person has memorized the Qur'an. And Maulana looked at him and said, بَلِ الْقُرْآنُ يَحْفَظُهُ. No, instead the Qur'an is protecting him. Rather than him protecting the Qur'an is protecting him. If we are to analyze that deep statement, it means the person who makes an effort to memorize the Qur'an by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will be protected. So when we make an effort to memorize the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, hand in hand with that, we should make sure that we protect the rules and regulations of the Qur'an, because in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he tells us, رُبَّ قَارِئٍ لِلْقُرْآنِ وَالْقُرْآنُ يَلْعَنُهُ. Some people who recite the Qur'an and read the Qur'an are doing so whilst the Qur'an is cursing them. The ulama have spoken of several reasons why the Qur'an can curse a reader who is reading the Qur'an. One of them is, when the Qur'an is telling you أَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ and you are reading the verse أَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ and you yourself are far away from salah, it's cursing you. A person who is a teacher, for example, or a person who is telling others what to do and himself he's not doing it, obviously that is a point of curse and downfall for that particular person. So the same applies to the Qur'an. When we are reading it, not only should we memorize the words, but we should protect the words. So there is a difference between memorizing it and protecting it. The difference is that one has got to do with the memory of a person and the other is the a'mal of that particular person. Very sadly, a few weeks ago, someone had called me from a certain city within South Africa, and they were talking about a problem that they were facing within the family. And I thought to myself and I told them, you know what, no, the boy you are speaking about is a hafiz. And to me, that was meant to mean that that is a good deed that he has achieved, something Allah has granted him the power to achieve. So, he is an ambassador of the Quran in this dunya. He is a spokesman of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who will recite the Quran in Taraweeh and on other occasions for people to listen and to take heed. But instead, the answer I got was that, what are you talking about? Most of the huffaz here are on drugs. Allahu Akbar. I was hurt and I said, no ways, that is not true. Because a person who is a hafiz and is protecting the Quran, that cannot be his or her qualities. It can't. So we here need to ensure that we are portraying the correct image of those who are holding the Quran. It is a huge responsibility. We need to make sure that our lives are in conformity to what this Quran has come with. We must never ever embarrass our whole deen by being from amongst those who are holders of the Quran in memory, but not protectors of the Quran in practice. So, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, رُبَّ قَارِئٍ لِلْقُرْآنِ وَالْقُرْآنُ يَلْعَنُهُ. Some of those who recite the Quran are doing so whilst the Quran is cursing them, because firstly, they go against the commands. We should not do that, inshallah. May Allah protect us all and make us from amongst those who are conscious of our religious duties. Secondly, the Quran can be cursing a person because that person is not reading it correctly. Intentionally, they are not making an effort to try and read the Quran in a manner that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam has taught. We all know there are rules and regulations governing the recitation of the Quran. One might argue that these rules and regulations were not there at the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But the reality is, they were applied at that time. The Arabs were so eloquent that they did not need the details to be told to them. But with us, we are fortunate that we are told the details of qalqala and ikhfa and so on. We must apply these rules, because if we intentionally do not read the Quran in a manner that it is meant to be read, and we do not make an effort to purify the makharij and the rules of tajweed, to apply them and to purify our recitation, then we will be sinful. And the Quran may be cursing us. I was giving an example in one of my lectures of the difference between alim and alim. It's a huge difference. But in pronunciation, it's something that one might take for granted. Alim and alim. One means very painful and the other one means highly knowledgeable. Allahu Akbar. When we speak of adab, we speak of alim. When we speak of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we speak of alim. So, we must understand that to spoil even the Hamza and the Ayn is something that is not acceptable. May Allah make us from amongst those who recite clearly. Also, we must realize that for every letter, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, we are achieving 10 full rewards. There are between 340 and 360,000 letters in the Quran, according to what I did not count myself. And believe me, I don't know the precise figure. But from what we've read, Allahu A'lam. 340 to 360,000. Let's take, for argument's sake, let's just take 350,000. If we are getting 10 rewards for every letter, why spoil the letters? Why don't we read it properly? You know, it reminds me of rejects. When there is a factory and the production line, one after the other, either shoes or something is coming out, one after the other, and then you have a few in the middle that don't come out properly and have to be thrown away. We don't want that to happen to our mouths and to the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every letter holds its value. اعطي كل حرف حقه. Give the due, the right that every letter has. Give it. Today we are fighting for our rights. Today women were fighting for their rights. This one fights for their rights, and those ones fight for those rights. The letters of the Quran also have rights. And give the due of that letter to that particular letter, so that we can achieve through Kalamullah elevation in our status. When a president has appointed someone to read a public statement, firstly, the president only appoints those whom he or she knows, we hope they are all his, who know that this particular person is going to read properly. This particular person is going to read my message properly. Now you come after being chosen by the president and you appear on the media, and how you read? What will happen? You are insulting the president, yourself as well, the entire country, and internationally people will say, look at that president, what type of a spokesman they have that we don't even understand what they are saying. I'm sure we all understand what I've just said. And for this reason, it is very, very important that when speaking or when reciting Kalamullah Azza wa Jal, the word of the Creator, Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal, we must make sure to a greater degree that we are uttering every single word very, very clearly so that the message is not confused. And at the same time, as I said, we are achieving a reward for it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us a complete reward. So if we are getting 10 rewards for one letter, and the hadith says, لا أقول ألف لام ميم حرف ولكن ألف حرف ولام حرف وميم حرف. I'm sure all of us know that hadith. ألف لام ميم is not a letter. ألف is a letter. You get 10. Now imagine when you are memorizing, say for example, certain verses of the Quran, and you are repeating them 20, 30 times, and you are saying, for example, لقد كان لسبأ في مسكنهم آية لقد كان لسبأ في مسكنهم آية لقد كان لسبأ في مسكنهم آية. To be honest with you, what are we doing? Those rewards are being multiplied so much that human machinery can't keep a record of it. Bring the biggest of computers, it will not be able to keep a record. 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, and it's all, each one is multiplied, and before you know it, you're already repeating the verse. So the Huffaz have such a high status. You know, when a man is a multi-billionaire, and then you come with 10 bankrupt people and say, you know what, these people, they all need 1.5 million each. He'll call them and he'll say, listen, you 10, I'll give you 2 million, 1.5 to pay your debts and 500,000 to start a new life. It's possible for that to happen. We hope that there are generous people left in the dunya. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls out a hafiz on the day of Qiyamah. That type of hafiz who has protected the Quran, who has read, who has earned so much multiplication. He is a multi-billionaire in terms of thawab. If we are to take the value of one thawab, what is known as a reward, we can't put a value, a dunyawi value on that. Can we say 1 Krugerrand for one reward? It's much more than that. But just for our small minds to understand, say it's 1 rand, just 1 rand. Just to hand in your work, you need to have read it a minimum of 20 times. So if you've read that Quran, just to hand in, we're not talking of the sabak Jews and the door and all that. We are only speaking of handing in. You already have, if we take it at 350,000 multiplied by 10 is 3.5 million multiplied by 70 million. 70 million multiplied by 20 and so on. So if that was 1 rand each, how much do you have? I'm sure everyone's scratching their heads and thinking of what Lexus they would buy and so on. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us understanding that it is so valuable on the day of Qiyamah. And this is one hadith that is very, very important. We all know it. But let's listen to it again carefully. Allah says in the Quran, وَذَكِّرْ فَإِنَّ الذِّكْرَ تَنْفَعُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Remind, for definitely the reminding will help the believers. And we are all from amongst them. May Allah benefit us firstly. The hadith says, يُقَالُ لِصَاحِبِ الْقُرْآنِ. It will be said on the day of Qiyamah to the person who has memorized the Quran. Now, most of the scholars have interpreted this as a hafiz. So let's stick to that. Though there are some who say anyone who has a portion of the Quran, and that would include every single Muslim. Because all of us have memorized, we are all hafiz to a certain extent. We all know Surah Al-Fatiha, Surah Al-Falaq, Surah Al-Nas and so on. But let's speak about the Huffaz. The one who has the Quran will be told, Iqra, read. Listen very carefully, read. Iqra wartaqi, and keep on climbing. Now, on this elevator, as you read, it will keep on moving up. When you stop, and how will the stoppage be? It will be according to how much you've protected the Quran. According to how much you've protected rules and regulations of the Quran. So when you come to wa aqimu salah, and Allah has kept it in the first sipara. First Jews, Allah kept wa aqimu salata wa atu zakata wa arka'u ma'ar raki'in. When you come to that, if you haven't been reading salah, stop. You're stuck. It reminds me of the Maulana saying, like that. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. May that not happen to us. In fact, even before that, Allah says right at the beginning of Surah Al-Baqarah about Alladhina yuqimuna as-salah and so on. So, whilst a person is reading, if they have protected, they will be they will be going up, continuing going up. Now what will happen? The hadith continues to say, warattil, recite, tartil, modulation, intonation, whatever you want to call it. You know, normally people feel shy sometimes to read with a tune. When I teach the young boys, I refuse to listen to anyone who doesn't have a tune. Please go somewhere else. Go away. There's no scope of being shy. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, I've been granted permission. I've been granted permission to read with a tune, the Quran. I've been granted the permission to recite the Quran in this manner. So if Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was granted the permission literally to make a tune with the Quran and the recitation of the Quran, what about us? We must force ourselves to get that tune for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the people will be told, or the huffaz will be told, warattil, read with tartil, kama kunta turattilu fid dunya. And that is one of the most important parts of the hadith according to myself. Read with that tartil and read in the manner that you used to read in the dunya. In the manner that you used to read in the dunya. That means when you get up for taraweeh, how you read in taraweeh, that's the only way you'll be able to read in the akhirah. No other way. Because that's how you used to read in the dunya. So for this reason, it's important that the huffaz never ever succumb to the pressure of the public to read fast. No ways. No ways. Rather not lead. Than to lead where people are telling you, hey, tomorrow finish 5 minutes earlier. You know that. Today it was 9:30. Tomorrow 9:20. The other masjid finishes at 9:20. We must finish before them. Those type of statements, we don't want the public to utter that to us. Tell them, look, on the day of Qiyamah, I'm not going to be able to read. The hadith says, kama kunta turattilu fid dunya. If I'm reading in another way in the dunya, how am I going to read in the akhirah? Then where are you going to be to tell Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I was the one who put pressure on that man? No ways. So some people ask, what's the speed supposed to be? Not too slow that people run away. We are not here to read like Abdullah al-Matrud and so on, where they take 3 hours for taraweeh. No. And not so fast that you are compromising the rules of recitation of Quran, but quick enough for you to be able to bear in mind the old who are behind you, number one. And number two is, slow enough for you to be able to fulfill all the rules of tajweed that you have to fulfill. So a balance between the two. And that balance, alhamdulillah, it will take you 5 minutes or maximum 10 minutes more than the other places, believe me. Maximum 10 minutes more than the other places. And if we start that trend for the sake of Allah, the hadith says, man sanna sunnatan hasanatan falahu ajruha wa ajru man amila biha ila yawmil qiyamati la yanqusu dhalika min ujurihim shay'. Whoever starts a good example, sets a good example, they will have the full reward of it and the full reward of anyone who has practiced it up to the day of Qiyamah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala use us in that regard. So it's very important that we understand that tartil on the day of Qiyamah, the hadith says, kama kunta turattilu fid dunya, you read the same way you used to read in the dunya. For that reason also, we must make sure, for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we read properly whenever we read. And we must have Allah in mind. Whenever we stand up in taraweeh, Allahu Akbar, you must picture yourself reading in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then inshallah, don't worry about anything else. Mistakes we all make. Everybody makes mistakes. That is why there are rules of luqma. That is why there are rules of correction. If no one was meant to make a mistake, there would be no rules governing how a person should correct. There would be no rules. Once Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam turned around and he asked the sahaba, Afikum Ubay? Where is Ubay ibn Ka'b radiallahu anhu? When he was present, he said, why didn't you correct me? And obviously that was Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It might have been a new verse. It might have been something. No one would have had the guts to do that. But that lesson was for all of us, that if Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was telling his companions, why didn't you correct me? Who are we? Some huffaz feel bad when you correct them. They stop talking to you for months on end, that no, this man, he disgraced me in public. How come? Why didn't you give me a chance? In salah, there's no chances. What chance you want me to give you? You're telling me, you made the meaning opposite, or the meaning of the Quran was changed, and you're saying, why didn't you give me a chance? Allahu Akbar. That is unacceptable. None of us must feel bad when we are corrected in salah. Don't worry. Even in farad salah, for example, sometimes people might, before you can correct yourself, they shout out, so what? It's one of those things. Alhamdulillah, it happened, and you must thank Allah that there was someone to correct you. Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, as powerful as he was, people used to fear him. When one man corrected him in public, he thanked Allah and said, I thank you that there are still people like this who can correct people like me. So we should not worry about that. Do it properly. And I know there are some people who feel that, no, that man's got a personal vendetta. That's why loudly he screamed from the 10th saf. You can have a rule to say, all the huffaz, please come to the first saf. And please stand here. And this is how you should correct. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us understanding. As I was saying in this hadith, that read in the same way you were reading in the dunya, فَإِنَّ مَنْزِلَتَكَ عِنْدَ آخِرِ آيَةٍ تَقْرَأُهَا. Your final place and your manzila, your status, will be at the last verse that you read. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make our last verse, مِنَ الْجِنَّةِ وَالنَّاسِ, to make us from amongst those who can protect the Qur'an, who can read clearly. And if remember, if we protect the Qur'an will protect us. When a person comes to the masjid, to the house of Allah, Allah visits him in his house. He will feel the mercy of Allah and the rahmah there in his own house. So when we do something for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He doubles and triples and quadruples it and gives us much more. Whoever goes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala a little bit, Allah comes to them in a larger way. So we need to make an effort for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We need to polish our door and our revision. We need to make sure the Quran is always intact. Don't just read the Quran in Ramadan. And don't just read the Quran prior to Ramadan, now suddenly there's a huge roller coaster and we're all reading. No, throughout the year it must be a practice. Mufti Mahmud Sahab, rahmatullahi alayhi, he told me personally that every single day after Salatul Maghrib, you must at least finish your one juz. At least, minimum, one juz in Salah. One juz in Salah. And if you get used to that, Taraweeh will be nothing. It will be something very simple. If someone tells you 5, 10 rakats, 8 rakats, it will be very simple because you used to reading the whole juz yourself. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for us. I see the faces beaming with radiance, mashallah. May Allah grant us all acceptance on this eve. I was not going to speak here, but Allah wanted me to speak, so I have arrived here and I have shared a few words. They are more important for myself than for yourselves. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not make us from amongst those who will come on the day of Qiyamah with the Quran being a burden against us. As the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, Al-Qur'anu hujjatun laka aw alayka. This Qur'an will either bear witness for you or against you. It will either bear witness for you or against you. We ask Allah that the Qur'an bears witness for us and not against us. Let's try, inshallah. It's very encouraging. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept us all. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabina Muhammad subhanallahu wa bihamdihi subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta.
Syntax CD Productions, bringing the sounds of Islam to you.